probably not good.
I think so.
Okay. This is February 21st, 1990. I'm Lois Lee.
Karen B.
Kay Nyberg, just the 19th.
Wait, what can you tell us about the old blacksmith shop?
Well, evidently, when my dad came into the community, there was an old blacksmith shop and he decided to stay here rather than go on to Australia. He joined and worked at the shop, and sometimes on the line we must have moved it over to the on the site after Pop started his farming operation.
So it was moved over by your barn?
Yes, it was moved over.
Oh,
there. And
what?
we had a pig house there, and then a lot of equipment stored in the old building that we moved over.
Was it still used as a blacksmith shop after you moved over?
No, it was just for the livestock, and it was just part of the operation.
Yeah.
That was our pig pen that was added on to it and storage. And then we had the old binder and some equipment that we put inside so it could all the weather.
Did your father actually work as a blacksmith?
Oh, I suppose he helped during some of the...
Who was it that he went into partnership with?
Worth, I guess.
Worth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, was it right by the river?
It was right at Bridgeport. It was called Bridgeport at that time, and that's where the portage was. Mm-hmm. It was just about where that garden is at the end of the bridge.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And evidently that's where it was. It was somewhere in that area.
Uh-huh.
About when did they move it, do you know?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
It was way before
it was
time.
There, and it must have been right around the 20th century because the barn was built, was painted in 1903. And I don't know how up before that, something I'll call them back. That's
now your dad came here in 95?
Oh, somewhere in there, I don't know.
So he worked as a blacksmith, or worked with the blacksmith shop, until he decided to stay here.
We've never had much conversation about him, but I know that he was associated with Jim Wood.
I see. Yeah. It was a very romantic story, and he met your mother, who was Ora Barngrover.
Yeah.
And that put, sort of determined that he would stay here rather than going on to Australia? Was it Australia
that he was? They were driving sheep. They were going to take sheep to Australia. So he decided this is where he'd settle, and 10 kids later, here we are.
How romantic.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like here. Now, she was living in the house where Earl and Margaret live now.
Yes.
And now, where did he live? This is before he bought a farm here. Where
I would imagine he probably in the back of the shop upstairs,
I
but
see.
Who knows?
I think.
The gal was the place was there, but there were all kinds of shacks.
Sure.
You know, the little onion house.
Sure.
This was all subdivided before the turn of the century, so there were 5-acre slots in here all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd buy from 1 to 5.
Over across Nyberg Road.
Yes. I can remember, when I first started in farming, I could remember the onions being all the way from Bill Saget's down here, all the way clear up to Martinazzi, which is Martinazzi now.
Mm-hmm.
There were onions in that whole section, and all just beautiful stuff. Just
Bill Saget, was on the other side of 65th.
Yeah, right.
There were onions in there, I can remember onions there.
That whole low spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole
onion flat was,
but
then a couple came in from the east and settled, and they didn't take care of the ditches, and then our problems started. And then just gradually got worse and worse and worse.
Now what problems?
Well, backing up water, keeping the ditches clean, keeping the drains done.
I see.
Weeds, first thing you know, they let it all go to weeds, and it would come over your land, so you had that much more work to do.
The water would back up to me?
Well, yeah, when the water's, it backed up every year.
Yeah.
up dinner and make the deposit of the grass seed. Mm-hmm. Like the roots canary grass, when that once came in, that was the end of it, because it just goes wherever and just blocks off.
Is that pretty much what killed out the onion industry then?
Yes, yeah.
The onion grass.
Just went out of it. We were finally the only ones raising onions here, mm-hmm. and we just couldn't do it anymore. So then we went to lettuce, mm-hmm. and hybrid seed corn, mm-hmm. and hybrid purebred cattle, and then same thing happened to compound the problem. The state highway split our place in two, which then took away all our agriculture lands, the productive lands. Mm-hmm. It was virtually impossible. After the freeway came through, we attempted 2 years to raise hybrid seed corn, mm-hmm. but the damage was so great with the erosion off the freeway that it just covered all our land, and we had to clean out the ditches twice in order to move.
Yeah, the area here is pretty, all the farming wood, so that was very wet and low.
Yes.
But that's where you grew the corn too.
Well, we've grown this piece right here by the house.
I see.
And we did.
I see.
And we did over where Kmart is. We had hybrid seed corn in there for about, I don't know how many years we had there, 8 or 10 years. Then we had down in the bottom here, that one piece in there we had in for 10 years.
I see.
And we crossed it and made commercial hybrid seed.
I see. You did and your that, own hybridizing?
Or yes, we took the tassels off of 3 rows and pollinated with one. Every fourth row was a pollinator, and you had to pull the tassels off so that they would be cross-pollinated.
I see.
So, and the freeway chased us out of that business.
Right. Yeah. Now, what was that corn used for?
I then were another two or three of us in Washington County would pool it and then sell it all over the state of Oregon.
Yeah. Now, was it used for eating or for seed?
Field corn. Yeah. There's costs of 525 and 355 and 100 that we raised. And, now that was quite a, and then,
that was the early days of hybridizing.
Now, what years were those?
We were married in 45, so it was before that.
Before that, so the early 40s.
We were still raising it.
That's about 52, yeah.
Right. We were about 52, 53, we had to get out. Uh-huh. And in 1941, I quit raising onions and went to lettuce.
I see.
Quit in 1941?
Yeah.
Well, but you still had onions after we were married.
1941, that was the last crop we raised in the leather diamonds. I got into lettuce. Yeah.
But the one, I remember the 1 year after we were married, that the onions paid for the taxes and the loan. The farm, there was a farm loan because of the depression. Mm-hmm. Because of the depression. Mm-hmm. And the onions, paid all those that 1 year. You just had that one patch. Hmm. You had lettuce in the other, but you had that one. And that was the highest price they'd ever gotten for onions.
Yeah.
I think it was $13 a hundred.
Hmm. And I think that was about,
they brought up the highest 25.
Yeah. I think that was about 47.
Now, how many acres did you have in the farm?
Oh, we had between 125 to 135. They start taking them off, you know, then add on something. We were running, we maintained that we wouldn't buy anything that wasn't attached. So
And that was already from the river to the top of the hill?
Yeah, to the
Sagert Road.
Yeah.
Who did your dad buy from?
Who did
your father buy the place from?
Oh gosh, there were those 5 acre lots.
He just put it together.
Well, was
the
five acre lots too? No. Not up here.
No, but up in here. But that's where he got it. Then he lived in. They lived in a little shack on the northbound lane of I-5, and there were 3 children born in that.
We have a picture. Yeah. When it's got from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
they
use it?
They. He started that and got
involved. So he just went by 5 acres?
Oh, he bought different size plots. When they have a good year, they pick it together. Like the illustration here on the piece next to us, that 10 acres there, we could have it for $1,500, $500 down, no interest in paying from Joe Edel, and pay him whenever we got the money.
Oh, Joe Edel owned that.
Yeah, Joe and August, I know, so we just couldn't do it, but these were put together in 5 acre spots.
Yeah.
So you just kept...
So that was all planted in 5-acre lots then before 1900?
Yeah.
I thought those were 10 acres.
Five.
No, they have to be
five. We have a plat map.
Yeah, we have a plat map, and they vary a little bit. They're not all...
And then up on the other side, they were planted too.
Up the side of Sagar?
No.
Yeah, the other
off
side of this.
Sides,
off to, I see.
Down to
well, now what we have is Tualatin Gardens.
Yeah. And that doesn't quite go over this far.
No.
But the map doesn't go over this far, and how far that plat map goes.
But you see, each of these are in a 5-acre lot.
Right,
and
right.
All, up there on Dunstan's and all that was in 5-acre
uh-huh,
lot.
Uh-huh.
Well, and there were onion barns. There were lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I think there was a barn for each place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
No, there wasn't a lot for each place, I don't think. Yeah. But there was the cider, and then the next one... was here.
Well,
two of them. Yeah, there's two, three, four, five, six of them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because
and then it's counting Thompson's.
Thompson yeah. had one. And did Zeke Eddie have his own barn?
Oh, Zeke, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So each of those onion farmers. So mm-hmm. just who were the farmers?
Oh, Bill Sager.
Bill Sager.
And Saffron's.
Oh, yeah,
Saffron's.
And then you had...
Then Sager. Bill Sager.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
this was Larson's and all.
Larson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another house here. I forgot about that.
Hmm.
Then their house is right here. There's a house on the other side of
uh-huh.
me. And see, on that other end up there, they built their houses on this end of the lots and walked across the swamp.
The
Ames bought,
yeah,
and then the Dunstan place,
uh-huh.
there were houses there.
Yeah, right. I think where the onion barns were, just how many onion farmers there were. So Bill Taggart and the Saffron's and you folks and Thompson's and Zeke Eddie all were onion farmers.
Yeah,
along
and
here.
Then there was another one here, Larson.
And Larson, yeah.
And Gertie Hoffman, did they have?
No, they never had a Gertie.
Well,
they had
a dairy down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they were at the very end.
Stone Throw.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Well, what about on this side? Who was that?
That was Saffron. That was Saffron place, yeah.
Oh,
Saffron.
They were on this side
Pittman.
Of the road?
Yeah, Pittman.
Oh, I see. I
did Pittman's have onions?
Saffron. Yeah, I guess.
They
the
had.
Family.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah, they Pittman's had
yeah,
onions.
That was Saffron.
Okay.
Now, Saffron moved around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know that was before my time.
Mm-hmm. So there's just a string of onion farms
yeah.
along here.
And you see where the quarry, when they opened up the quarry in
uh-huh.
1900, they were taking, they take the mill teams to take the onions over to the siding.
The railroad?
Railroad
oh,
siding.
Okay, yeah.
To load them onto to the cars.
Now there's a mill team?
Yeah, the sawmill.
Oh,
in
oh
winter,
I see.
They couldn't be logging, so they get those to come. And they take 20 sacks on the wagon and take off and go over there and
yeah.
then they just keep going.
Now this was the Oregon Electric.
Well, in Southern Pacific.
And Southern Pacific both.
Both
yeah.
of them.
Both
we loaded off both of them.
I see.
Oh.
I see.
And then when they opened this quarry up, they
okay.
started crushing the rock and then
uh-huh.
they'd take off from the quarry and whenever they got stuck, they just take them. And the, what you call it, the wagon box was made up of 2x6s.
Mm-hmm.
And they had about that much of a siding on it, and they'd pull that out and pull the sticks out and drop the gravel in there, and then they'd go back and get another load.
So you actually had, there was a rock crusher
yeah.
in the quarry?
Oh, sure,
uh-huh.
sure. Oh, yeah, that was there. They did Rex Hill off of that, too.
Hmm.
No, maybe. Back to the teams. Now, would the farmers have had their own teams of horses to farm,
oh, yeah.
but they used the mill teams to take the onions
yeah.
to the market. They're just
yeah.
stronger horses, or
yeah, they were three or four horse or six
mm-hmm.
horse team.
I see. How large a wagon of onions that would have been?
20 sacks or so.
20 sacks.
2,000 ton of onions.
I see. Never thought of this question, but how much load can a horse pull? Yeah, like a two-horse team, just ordinary workhorses.
It depends on what surface you're on.
Yeah, yeah. sure.
If you're going downhill.
Yeah.
No.
But these wagon loads of onions would have been stronger, would have been heavier than your normal work team would have been able to pull.
Yes, oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And then you see, after they once got the gravel in, right now, mm-hmm. you can haul 40, you can haul 100 sacks. Because mm-hmm. you have no problem in that mud, down that the mud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how many horses did people, did most farmers have?
Well, we had five.
You had five?
Yeah, okay. I think your granddad had four or five. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a three-horse team.
Oh, you had a three-horse team.
Yeah, we plow with three horses.
Mm-hmm. Did you use a walking plow or a riding plow?
Most of the time walking, but...
Why is that?
Well, didn't have riding.
Oh, okay. We heard just recently that it was real hard on the horses to use a riding plow if they had to go uphill.
Oh, I don't think it made any difference. I don't think it made any difference. No, it didn't make any
difference. How did you hitch up a three? I've never seen a three-horse team.
You have two, and you count a single over here, so that you, with your compensation for the angles, so you have one third.
I see.
Oh, yeah, I plowed lots. I did this whole thing. I did a lot of it. Plowed your granddad's place, the first time I've ever plowed with a tractor.
Yeah.
I did it in $28.
Mm. Now this, back in the days of the horse, was that just a single...
Single plow. 14-inch plow. I never plowed with anything over 14. Mm-hmm. Some of them had 16 on some two. I was on two horse hitch. I never plowed much with three horse. But I used to, I don't know the color of it, you know. I had some work with three horse and cotton and could do it. But more I used to do that.
But that's a good statistic on how long it took to plow, X amount of ground on a single horse plow. Now, go back again, you said something took 28 hours?
To do that was the tractor.
Oh, the tractor.
On the
how many acres could it plow with a team of horses?
And a single? I don't know.
It seems like I've heard 7 acres.
In a day?
Yeah.
No, you'd be lucky
to make it
a little over an acre.
Yeah.
Well, I had a good team. Everything around me, I helped. I plowed a lot of them. Did a lot of it, chairman.
Now, let's go back to the horses, because I've always loved horses.
I have too.
Did you breed your own horses, or did you buy workhorses already trained?
We bred them. We took them up to your granddad's stallion.
Mm-hmm.
We had seven horses that we raised here and trained on the place.
Cool. Really?
Seven
but
horses.
And you broke yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. My goodness.
And Grandpa had Percheron horses, didn't he? Was that
I don't know. It was a Belgian, I think. Oh. I don't know. But
really?
It was a great one.
What color was it?
Black, white, and white had blaze.
That would be Percheron.
But this is not the stallion that has Richard, your grandfather, riding. That was a riding
horse. Yeah, I would imagine.
It would be a riding horse. This is a Percheron.
The picture we have was not of
Percheron. Right.
No.
But he, all seven of them, because I took them all, the mares to the stallion.
Oh.
Took off that mare and knew where she was going.
She was in a hurry, huh?
She was a real problem. But once I was going along and she decided she was going to go on the other side of something, I was going to go the other way. So I walked it, and by the time I got there, she was already taken care of, so I ran back home.
Yeah. So did you ride the horse up there, or did you drive
it? I rode the horse up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I take them from whatever I had, and I'd ride them all over.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
talking about horses, we had a nephew that you remember, and he'd get out in the field with Walter.
Yeah?
Oh, Walter.
Yeah, he was up there in the field working, and we called him for dinner, and he just stopped the horses right there. He was riding on the roller, and he stopped the horse right where he was on his and walked all the way back. We would never let him forget that.
Oh, I'll bet. He could have ridden.
But the thing, of course, is what you wonder is how you got everything done and all that cage story.
Yeah.
Everything and still get the job done.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just wonderful all that time and the energy.
Well, things were sure done differently.
Yeah.
With a hay fork and to put it up in the barn, loose.
Yeah.
I had to go throw it down, beat it,
all
by hand.
We didn't even have a hay fork in our barn. Dad just threw it up into the hayloft, and us kids would take the pitchforks and drag it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we had a barn that can go both ways, right? And a drive through area, and cover it over the top, so that you feed more cattle. And then we cut that out and got to chop the hay in the field and then threw it into the barn so that we didn't have the rain on that. But again,
when they could even use the stationary balers, that was a great
improvement.
Mm-hmm. You could store so much more and you could sell it.
That's right. That's why you couldn't sell those things very well.
Jim, I can understand. I had so much trouble getting the obligation because you had to feed so much. Harvest.
Yeah, I used to think, we're spending all the time getting the, sowing the hay, reaping the hay, getting in the barn just to feed the horses so that we had the horse part of
the next year's crop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's been amazing to me, and we're talking to a lot of these different people, and I even forgot, you know, that you could make a living and raise a family on 40 acres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, nowadays, 40 acres is nothing.
Well, in specialized crops, like some of the farms with marijuana that you do.
Yes, yeah.
But like the IBAC, they have 40 acres.
Yeah, I helped them build saddles. Thrash.
Yeah.
We started when I got out of school, and I go right up to the time school started. And I was with that team of horses, not 8 hours a day, but 10, 12, 14.
Yeah.
Day in and day out.
And in your day, our kids worked.
Yeah, and at that time we were paying 25 cents for youngsters reading the onions, and of course I was not much older than the ones who were hiring to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, but those kids had a great, that gave them something to do, and certainly gave them money in their pocket.
Yeah.
And we were doing $3 a day with a team of horses in a full day.
Mm-hmm. And that was during the Depression?
Well, yeah, and after.
Well,
and of course,
before.
And of course, I had a real time. I never saw anybody because we always had harvesting. They come in, everybody had just joined together. And, and we always ate good. We always had a good, healthy life. And
Well, but... I know that for us, we thrashed for 3.5 days, and so my father would keep track of all the people that, you know, that he would owe money, because we thrashed longer than a lot of them, so when they came to help for them, they were paid for those days, that those extra days.
So it was quite about the barter system.
We were just exchanging.
You exchanged help, but beyond that,
You
still
make up. Now, you would hire people just mainly on the onions?
We used to have as high as 30 youngsters in there.
Really?
Weeding onions.
Weeding?
30?
Yeah.
How many acres of onions did you have?
Oh, we had 12, 15.
Yeah.
That's to weed the onions and then to pick them?
Oh, yeah, that was no problem. Once you got them, to harvest them, there wasn't any problem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, did you pick them up by hand?
Yeah. And hoppers,
And then how, I don't know if we want to get into this at this point, but how did the onion harvest work? You would gather, would you plow up like we did with bulb plow up to expose the onions to the
No,
we
wouldn't plow them up. We just did just a blade that went underneath. It was,
I see.
It was on the surface.
I
and
see.
Then it raised them out, and then they just raked them together.
Now he's
got one of those onion rakes up at the house.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I saw one the other day.
Well, wouldn't
he didn't have any idea what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet he didn't.
Yeah.
And because those were a little wood pate, and it had a split, and boy, you protected that in the onion hose.
Mm-hmm.
We really protected those because you were on the handle of that thing for day after day after day.
So you did some hoeing. Did you do any cultivating of the onions with a horse attractor?
No, nothing but all hand cultivating.
Uh-huh.
Everything was hand, onion.
Why no horses in the onion field?
Because your rows are only 12, 14 inches.
And
now they're even cutting them down closer.
So when you sack the onions, how did you do it?
Put them in the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people work together and they for a lot of the onion sets, we had a hoppers made that we put them in and hooked the sack on them and just used the cork and plastic. Mm-hmm.
And then you brought them up into the onion barns where they were dry?
Well, we put them on shelves. No, they were dry already, but we put them on shelves about 18 inches deep. And then we put up to the top. And that was all handwork too. Then we lift them up there, and then they had pulleys on the ceiling to pull the sacks up.
So this is just for storage, not for drying, but just to store them?
Just to store them. Keep them.
Then how did you sell them?
All winter long, we take them, put them through the onion coppers, and sort them in a, on the table, and then put them in the sacks, and sack them up. And
So you put them in the sacks out in the field, and then put them in the
bin? You spread them out in the barn, in the barn, and then you just...
And then you have to resack them, take them out.
Well, after you take all the husks and the heavy husks off and the tops off, you just pull them out and you put them.
Now you're talking about a topper. Was your machine to top?
Yes, a gas engine topper. Mm-hmm. And I had a drum and the onions go down and pull the tops off and come out on the side in the crates. And then the crates, you do say that you're going to ship a carload. That would be 40 tons. You get that all done and then sort them out and sack them. And then later, when the good wolves got here, they'd bring the trucks right to the place, and we would organize your own site. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to take them across. Mm-hmm. I don't remember many loads of carloads of onions. Mm-hmm. The cycle did.
Sure.
I think still do.
Off the subject, but I don't ever remember there being, but there must have been a depot on the cycle.
The siding in Tualatin was right there by the odd fellow spot.
Right. The
other one was just before you got to Galber's place there, just past that industry there, put him in Langston. Anyhow, before you get to the cycle.
I see.
What about the mint farming?
Mint farming was one that... and that was quite a process. That was where the mint, and it grew about 3-4 foot tall. It was purple on with the pink blossoms, and it really went to town down there.
And that was in local private farms.
And you had to have special equipment. They put in a hydraulic ram and a spring over there. I had a pond that we put in, and had the hydraulic ram that pumped the water up into a big tank, and then we had a peppermint still with two tubes that probably hold 6-8 tons of hay of stalks. Mm-hmm. And then we had a steam that cut the cordwood and had it created steam, and then that steam went through the tank and then out through the gooseneck into the tubes, cooling tubes, starting in with about a 4-inch and dropping down to, about an inch tube. Then the water would trickle on that to bring the peppermint oil out of the steam and come into a tank. And have the water go in clear and have a spout way down low, and then the water would drain out, and so the peppermint oil was always on top. We would skim that off and put in gallon jug.
Now, but
an
elaborate operation. How did his father contrive this? Did he?
Well, I guess it was something that was engineered. They just bought the plant.
Mm-hmm. Now, what years was he growing peppermint?
That would have been about 33, 34.
Very, very many years did you do this?
I think 4 or 5 seasons, 6 seasons. Yeah.
Now, was this in place of the onions or in addition to the onions?
It was in addition to the onions. Yeah, some that we had in there. Mm-hmm. And we'd haul the peppermint to all the straw, the old residue over in that draw. But we had a dump truck that we... Mm-hmm.
Did the cattle eat it then?
Well, they do, but they weren't in the cattle anymore then, at that time.
I was reading some reason about the Indians. When the Indians were here, there were a couple of plants that that they grew, or they grew when they were here. One of them was apparently a mint-like product. I wonder if you ever seen any natural mint growing around here.
Oh, yeah.
You have?
We have some mint on our, I thought about that.
That's a purple one.
I see. It just grows wild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, of course mint we have.
Oh, I don't know. But this stuff, I still remember, and the bees would be just sick as could be.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was quite interesting. Of course, all of us remember Hing.
Oh, yeah.
Hing came down there, and Claude was running the plant at that time, and he was going to, and he asked him what he wanted. He said, I'm going to drink some of that oil. And I said, no, you better not. He said, I can drink anything. So he took a swig of it, and I guess it just about did him in.
Really?
Yeah. It's a good thing we had plenty of experience with it.
So there is a high alcoholic content just in
no,
that?
No, just
it was
just
the burn.
Oh, the burn? Oh,
it was the burn.
Recommend. Oh, yeah.
They had to pack his neck, is my understanding.
Really?
Yeah, you think...
he thought it was alcoholic? No.
Well, he didn't know what it was, but just somebody challenged him, or who knows,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Motivated him. Oh, yeah, my brother-in-law used it as a shaving lotion. And they had an awful time. They almost lost it.
Is it strong?
Oh, it's strong. You just put your finger in there and touch it, and it'll go right through.
Oh,
yeah, you take straight peppermint. But,
my goodness.
Well, who did you sell the peppermint oil to?
Well, whoever in the marketplace at that time. But of course, one of the big things with that operation, that was more important. I think probably $1 or $2 an ounce. We were going to wait until they got up to 5-6 and put them into a safety or into a vault because you got so much to take a gallon of it. Peppermint oil, you had a lot of money there.
Yeah.
Well, it just so happened that the price dropped out of it. Lost the whole work.
Oh.
Just like onions and sardines, potatoes, or whatever. If the market is you get greedy sometimes. That's why I went to lettuce, because every week I knew when I was going to sell lettuce, I didn't have to worry about storing it.
There's a 28-foot fill there, and with the center of a ditch down the middle, why, that would come down and just washed over
on
the other ground.
What happened was, they put in the original basin there, then they went up, and they compacted before they went up. When they found out they didn't have enough on the top, so they just started sloughing it off, and they didn't get the proper compaction. So when the winter rains came, that thing came down and just got behind where they failed to compact it. It just stood right out over the place like that. There were places down there with 4 foot of sand that they washed right out across the field. We tried and stayed in the business, and when they put I-205 in, the water that came down the draw came into the field, and that took us out. That took every one of our drainage tiles out. We washed every one of them.
Tell them how the drainage tiles were.
Now what happened, you get the water coming down through there, and there's sand, and when it hit the ditch, create a barrier. Then it settled back until it got to the top, so it run out over the top. Then that's created a barrier, and go right back up, and just keep doing that all the way across that field. And just, then when this line, there's about 8 lines down there that affected it, and the freeway breaks down, then it'll go down here, and right back up. And every one of them, the same thing. Just where it boiled out of the tiles would be about that much up that high, and then pretty soon I slipped in, closed it out, and it just back up. Just a matter of minutes, it was back up to another one. There was a place over there, at that time it was about five days, the water of the lake was in there, and the water was coming off the hill, and it ran out there and into the field like a delta, off of Curran from Sager. And
well,
so we just, there was just no way that
Did you contact the State Department?
They don't do anything about it. They gave a settlement, but it wasn't near what it should be.
By the time you pay the attorney.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And all the corrections.
And this, to those other tiles that went back up, it was all herringboned in, so it went way, way up. Because those are masses of springs up there that feed down. And so then the ditch, you see, goes from here to the river. And also there was the problem of the other people didn't keep their ditches clean, and it couldn't go on down to the river. The problem now is there's a, since they put in the new bridge, there's a huge boulder in there that they haven't been able to get out. And so now that's a natural dam right there, so that's what's blocking it.
Where is the boulder?
Right under the new bridge that they did.
On 65th.
Down on 65th.
They didn't have equipment enough to haul it out. Then what they did, they went in there with the sewer lines and water lines, and instead of cleaning it all out, they just left that all that river run off that they put down in the ditch. Mm-hmm. There's no way of getting it cleaned out anymore.
Now the boulder intrigued me. Like, is it visible or is it under the ground?
Well, it's down in, and the water's backed up over it.
I see. How big do you think the boulder would be?
Oh, it'd be long from here across into the other end.
And this is now under the bridge that they...
Yeah.
The bridge. And so whoever built the bridge, it should be liable for taking that out of there.
Yeah. And just get up, it just gets too much.
Mm-hmm. So when they did 205, Clayton talked with them and said, now we had this problem before with all this sand and that, and so they agreed to build so that there would be holding ponds there.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't build it high enough, and so it still washed over the top. And so they still, they built the second one, isn't that right? But it was too late, they'd already done it again.
Now they notice they're using bales. And when up here on your place, and my dad's, that's sandy in there, so sandy. They put in a reservoir in there, and then they put a drain tile off the top, so they could get it. And it didn't wash. That didn't give me any trouble at all. But, they're really going after now, and they're using, wherever there's a drainage, they're using bales to hold up the mud they did up here.
I wonder what the function of the bales was you see around. That's just to hold the
water. Well, to keep the sand from the water going through with the sand. And it'll make it cool for it, and then just mud. I saw one the other day stacked too high, and the mud behind it where it was clear up the top.
So after 52, when they put the freeway through here, that's when the onion operation stopped?
Yeah, that's when pretty much then we went to dairy.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was when the lettuce stopped.
Oh, yeah. And lettuce
stopped,
because,
hadn't you had a dairy before this?
Yeah, but not Grade A.
Oh.
We had Grade A when we moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you sold the milk?
Yeah.
All the time when you were growing up then, you had Grade C dairy?
Just for cheese.
There were how many years that they talked about putting the road in before it actually went?
14 years, We just waited. We didn't know which way it was going.
Well, you didn't know where it was going to go or when.
And then the 14th year, we heard it was going through Cochise, going out further to the west. And so we started doing things that we should have been doing for 14 years. And I can still remember. Here comes, again, cutting lettuce, beautiful lettuce. Here comes the survey crew right out of that grove of timber up there. Remember? Here they come right through there and right down through the patch, and I didn't know it was all over there.
Well, they were going to follow, my understanding was they were going to follow the railroad for a while. See, they had that strip in down by the airport before the war.
Aurora.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so it was going to connect with that, which it didn't. But so there was, they had it planned, and then when the war came along, put it on hold.
Yeah, and they bought that land out to that good farmland for $300 an acre, were on episode 99 all the way down to Salem,
mm-hmm.
taking all those businesses they had to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, backing up to, I hear you talk about the, in the days when you were milking so many cows before all the way back.
24.
24 cows?
Well, not when...
Yeah.
Up till 37.
And you had how many cows?
Well, we milked 16, I think 16 to 20.
And how many of you milked them?
All three of us.
That's you
but
and...
Most of the time, two of us.
That's you and Wilbur?
Yeah, Willis.
And Willis. Now, did your dad milk too, or did he?
No, he did the feeding.
Uh-huh. So, 16, so how, and so this was all your growing up years, you had this many cows?
Yeah, something? Oh yeah.
And that was every morning and evening you had to milk
yeah.
all those by hand?
Pump out the silage and feed them. And
wow.
Feed hay and feed the hogs. And, yeah.
Now, did you sell the milk for to dairies for cheese?
Yeah. Yeah, they pick up a little silver or whoever.
Oh, yeah.
Truck drivers mm-hmm. pick it up and haul it in. Yeah.
How long would it take you to milk a cow?
Well, I don't know.
Depended on the cow.
The cow
well, I just want to get it on.
Oh.
Well, we'd have to go like everything to get. We get up at 6, and by the time we get to school, we get we go school in there. So
yeah.
I don't know.
But then we got school, you better warm up.
Yeah, yeah sure. I know.
Everybody gets
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
everybody
and
there's
nothing of it.
Yeah.
And just really, it was fun.
Well, that was the day you rested. The time you rested from all the other stuff. You know.
Well, and you ask about pot milking. He had the only one hand because of the blood poison that he had gotten about... what year was that, Clayton?
I don't know.
So he had blood poison and he lost the...
I was 12, 13, yeah, 10, 11 years old, 8 years old.
Oh, before he came here?
No, while he was here. They were cutting cabbage, isn't that right?
Here?
He was helping somebody cut cabbage?
No, he fell off the barn, my barn. And he hit his hand, his left hand, and bruised it. Then he was working around the place and got into wild hawthorn.
Oh.
And the hawthorn stuck into his hand and infection and blood poison came in.
Yeah.
His hand swelled up about 8-10 times the size. And they drained and worked on it and did a lot of, and then they did a lot of ligament experimenting at the hospital. He allowed them to do that.
Yeah. Now, he would have been how old? Were you kids all little? I mean, were you?
Yeah, we were little.
I see, you're all okay.
If you were born in
18.
In 18, and
it
so.
Probably been 26, 27, 28.
Now, a local doctor would have looked at it.
Dr. Vincent, yeah.
Dr. Vincent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he then would hay fork, shovel, he'd put it right in here or in there.
He had a special glove made for his hand.
So his hand was like crippled like that, fixed like that.
Yeah, I mean.
So yeah, he couldn't work the cows.
He could work mighty fast. He could dig carrots. As I remember, he must have dug carrots until a year or two before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did everything.
He was not crippled by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it would take several. What did you say, about three fellows to keep up with him?
Because
right, there
bet.
Were carrots,
yeah.
raised carrots too before.
To yeah, we had a lot of very garden crops.
Yeah,
yeah. Had a lot of flowers growing on the place, gladiolus.
Yeah. The house itself, I'm interested in how it was built, who built it, and who designed it.
I got a good intention.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You were born in the house. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the house was once built in 1905.
Yeah, I think that was 1900 or something.
Your father was how old when he died?
87. I think he was not quite 87. But and he was the. They had just. Paved the freeway here, and stuff, whatever the name of it. And they had just paved the freeway.
All right.
Okay. Well, what do you remember about finding Indian artifacts on the place, or what do you remember that your father ever said about Indian artifacts?
Well, of course, we, you know, there's always a rumor there was a burial ground, and we're always looking for one place that there was supposed to be around here someplace.
Did you ever?
We never did find
it. You never did?
No. But we constantly, regardless of where we were, we would be picking up arrowheads and nothing new to us, because when we started the irrigation system in those fields that were so tilled, when you got through sprinkling, the first thing that dried up was an Indian head. You could see it disappearing. Then with all the weeding we used to do in the onions and hoeing, every time you cooked anything, you knew that there was something there and you looked for it. I learned earlier that, I'll pick it up on the way back. Never did find it.
It wasn't important then, something like that.
But I gave most of them.
Yeah. You ever find any bowls, pestles, and what?
I found a couple, three, I think, from the evening. Pestles.
Really?
We never kept them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know where they disappeared. Mm-hmm. We never paid attention to them.
Yeah.
Somebody said whether it was there or somebody saying that there was evidence of an Indian settlement where the freeway crosses the river.
River.
Yeah.
We dug around down in there some, but we never found it.
Tell us about your father's role in government. He must have been a real mover and shaker.
Yeah, Pop must have been something, because I remember him being mad once, but he wasn't very mad at that time. But he was pretty easy going. Mm-hmm. And he was quite a leader. He didn't others didn't to try, he didn't worry about it. He just went ahead and did it. So, and of course, he was very, very active in countywide government. He was county commissioner from 11 to 14.
1911 to 1914.
Yeah. County commissioner, yeah. Which is where they're from.
And his name is on the plaque up there, right in the building, and doing several horse things.
The courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that before he was mayor of
Clalton? Yes, because in the city of Clalton was incorporated in 1913.
That's right.
And, So, did he go to work as a commissioner every day, or did
no,
they have
No, once
certain
a week, or maybe every 2 weeks.
Okay.
But he'd walk from here over to Beaverton and then get to and go on in to Hillsboro.
On the train,
there.
Yeah.
And he never could talk about it much. The only thing he told me was to stay away from it, because I shouldn't do it. He says, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hadn't gotten into government by the time before he died, or had you?
Yes, I was in 57. I went into office in 57.
Well, when did he pass away?
You went in 57. No, he, let me see. Arnie was born in 52 and he died in 54.
Yeah, so he didn't.
Okay.
No, but
so he took his advice as long as he was alive.
Yeah.
But
then I took, of course, he dig around those things and get down underneath them and force them out, work them out. So, and he was quite farsighted. I think they did accomplish some things at that time that we knew. And then, of course, he came down to Tualatin and was city mayor here for a long, long time. And put in the water system up there. Worst time in the world that anybody could ever think about doing it.
And he helped put in water?
Oh, yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah. Sure, they built, put in all that stuff. All the pumps and all
that was when the water system was that area behind the church?
I remember coming home from school and it was artesian. The well that they pumped on it was an artesian well. It was about that high above and the water was poured on the top of it. And then they got that boiler pipe that got them the main part of town, and it's all that they needed, and it helped them, and could have gone more with it.
Yeah. Now, what did the water system consist of? Running water from that well to all the houses?
Yes.
And so it's just a matter of a lot of pipes running?
Yeah. Just the same as we do it now, only a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. But, and that was quite an accomplishment.
Well, yeah.
And of course, you did the roads. We spearheaded the construction of the roads. And he was all the way up. He was a roadmaster in part of the county in this area. And coordinated the fellows going out with the graders and grading the roads in the winter.
He was roadmaster about what years, Clayton?
It would have been that 11 to 14.
Oh,
isn't that his name, right?
And then on up to, after that mayor, he should have been serving in that capacity.
And the roads followed the property lines. That's why they jogged the way they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the gravel from your gravel pit here that was used to gravel the roads around here, I think.
Yeah, that's just what I said. They take from this pit in here, they would just go as far as they could, and then as the rest of it developed, they'd do it in the summertime then.
Now, what years would that have been? We have a picture of them graveling the bean crates below Byram's house, and there's no date on the picture.
Well, that would have been up till wartime. They were still doing some grading by equipment, by horses.
I see.
And Pop was on the, what was it that they built all the dams?
He served on Grand Valley Flood Control, drainage. Mm-hmm. He served on that through up until, he was in his 80s.
So that was what he wanted you to take over.
Yeah. 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 Was that out of Hillsborough, or was that out of Portland?
No, that's the Detroit Dam. And all the dams on the, he served on that with Marshall Dana, and I don't know who won.
So that was out of Salem then?
Yeah. 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 But he had a part to play in all that area. And that kind of worked. We went to more dam dedications over the years. And he was respected by the other cities.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the town team ball games.
Oh, that was fun times. Mm-hmm. That was really burned up the energy. And of course, we had in this town a baseball team, a softball team, and a basketball team. Basketball was real competitive. We play about every Friday night or every Saturday night. We travel all over the place.
Now, was this after, is this in your high school years or after high school?
High school.
Was there kind of a league set up with all the neighboring cities?
Well, we go down on Friday night, play Friday night, Saturday night, come back on Sunday. And Ed Blank would be down there with Gladys.
Yeah.
They had their grocery store, we'd go there, and we'd go in there and stay in there. We had more fun.
Yeah. Oh, so they had a grocery store when they left here and went down to Tampa.
Yeah, a store, I don't know what it was. Yep. Right there by Sandals.
I see.
And then we went down, and that was Wolverine and Ross and Herb and all of us went down to Taft and stayed at the Democratic Cottages at the lighthouse, and we ran the whole thing. We played two ball games for the weekend. Baseball was quite a, we had a good ball team in this town. The ball diamonds were Herman's, Plant Birds, and played some softball too. Mm-hmm. But they were quite a strong team.
Was it just young men that played,
yes,
kids, or any of the little?
No, it was the top 11, top level people.
Now, who was the coach for that?
Well, Camps was the basketball and what we were doing.
You swim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
Laura?
I don't know who did baseball, but I caught baseball. the town team there, I caught softball, I catch it at least most games a week.
Okay. Was Herb in softball or baseball, do you remember?
Yeah, Herb was playing and basketball.
Basketball, remember that.
I think he played some softball. Yeah.
Well, a lot of that was before the war.
Yeah.
Yeah, those baseball.
Oh, yeah, the baseball teams.
Yeah.
And Claude played and all the... That was really competitive. Yeah, I think your dad, if he didn't play, he went a lot.
Yeah, he played basketball too.
Yeah, with your granddad. That was a great thing. That was really
so Grandpa went to the Walgreens too?
Well, I'm sure he would. Because that was a...
Wasn't much else to do.
What teams did they play? Like Tigard?
Tigard, West End, Orion City.
If there were more of those now, it would keep the boys busy.
Yeah, right.
That's
a long way to go to Taft to play back and forth.
Well, that was, I remember going to Taft after we were married.
Down to Salem.
So it was at
Hubbard.
Yeah,
we got around. And I refereed over 500 ball games.
Oh, I remember you refereeing.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah, I had to quit when I got an officer. Run out of time.
Now, did the war kind of end that, or did it kind of pick up again after the war?
Basketball was after the war.
Because that was when we were married.
I went to the basketball games.
And then
Clayton played softball at that time over at Tigard. I guess, did you play, you probably kept playing softball during the war, did you?
Yeah.
Well, now, when did that, and why did that kind of peter out?
After the war?
Yeah, well, if they picked up after the war again, why did they sit out?
Because life became different. Most of the guys would go on to college then.
And I guess that would be,
She had the GI Bill, so about 4 years.
That's right.
Extension from the service. Mm-hmm. They can get a job right out of college. Right out of the service, and then went to college.
But the times are just changing then, too.
Yeah, they sure did.
Well, I think one thing, cars and travel became so much easier.
That's right.
That
people could go.
Most of my stuff didn't stay in your own home area.
They were tied down with a group, I mean, a lot of people did their thing. But now they didn't look like they're coming back to groups now and setting up new schedules.
I heard an interesting thing the other day. I talked to this Gertrude Molson, she's a pastor at Mr. Molson. I told you that she said that she needed onions. And she said that during the war, well, in the First World War, they were going to school up here at Tarleton, and the whole school was let out to go down and say goodbye to Claude, Mabry, and
Dick Walter.
Yeah, I told you that.
No?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole school was let out to go down to the station and say goodbye to these guys because they were
just 18 years of age.
And this is 1918.
And then she also said that the Nyberg girls had a car, Dad's car, I suppose. And every time they got a letter from Claude, I don't know if they'd pick up the mail down at the post office, when they're driving home, they'd take their horse. And everybody knew that they got a letter from Claude.
Isn't that a lovely vignette?
And then Jane Eyback told us that when they came to town, for the first time, I guess it was on the train, to look at their farm, there was no way for them to get from the train station up to the farm, and the Nyberg girls would go to their farm and took them up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mother went to school with Hiller Eyback.
Oh.
Went to grade school with him, I'm quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mountaindale.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Willis.
Oh. So my grandfather was born in 1858 at Roy, and my grandmother was born in 1868 at Roy. They were both born in Washington County.
Grandparents,
grandmother. See, mom's family came across from Cutter Way.
Oh yeah, what year was that?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to be around 1880, I suppose, somewhere in 1885.
Would anybody have any real good information on the Bronkowitz family?
Well, I don't know.
Some of those trunks that, I don't know what happened to those. if they still have any of those, that Tressa or Dolores might have some of those.
Talk to Dolores. Dolores might.
They did give us the box of stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, your mother was born here, though. She didn't.
No, she came across.
She did?
Yeah. No, she was born here, that's right, because they came across.
Yeah.
Her parents.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, they raised Aunt Nettie Seminole, Aunt Nettie.
Oh, yeah. Who was Elsie Mae's mother.
Yeah.
That's right,
She told me about that. Okay, now, going on, let's talk about... Which one?
Let's talk about that.
Would you tell us about the volunteer fire department that got started?
That was started in 1935, when 34, 35. I couldn't belong until I became graduated from high school. So. But that was a joint effort by all the businessmen and interested people, both of them. Something to do in the public service. They had the water here and everything. And they had a hand cart to start out with. And they worked out of that. And then they got an old Federal they got an old truck, and then that basically just had a hose on it. Then they got a truck with a pump on it, and they built a 350 gallon tank and with the pump, and that was a real improvement. And pretty soon they just kept progressing on and on and on. And 1936, I remember them coming down the house first time with a truck, and it was a two-story house, and I climbed up there, and from then on I was a high climber for the fire department. I was always the one that, and it was a concerted effort. It was one that really was coordinated, and the leadership was Hawkshurst and Uncle Bill, Barnwell,
and just this area right here, just
where you had then when we got the 350 gallon tank, then we realized anything that was off the end of the pipes, you could go out and with the pump, and 350 gallons, and in close you could pretty much put it out. But then they went to 1,000 gallon tank, bigger equipment all the time, and where they could pack enough water as it takes. They had the light one that got off first, the first one there would warm up, and away they go. It was all loaded, all they had to do was get enough to run it, and then they'd go, and then the bigger tankers come afterwards, the bigger trucks would follow up.
What were some of the fires that you...
Well, we had the ones in Sherwood, two big fires, and one was Morales, and then the dance hall burned down.
Oh, you remember that?
Oh, yeah, we were there. I was there when the dance hall burned down there.
Is that the one in the corner, second floor?
Where the first U.S. Bank was in that corner.
Okay, was the second floor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a dance hall on the second floor.
I think I got a picture of it.
Minix Mall's fire in the hay barn.
Oh, Minix Mall's fire.
Yeah, I was inside on that, and any time that could have gone.
What year was that, Clayton? And what year was the dance hall burned down? I mean, give me a day.
That was after we were married, as I remember.
No, probably 45.
Was it used at the dance hall until it burned?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Did Munich, was that when Munich Spa's burned?
At the same time.
About the same time?
Yeah, about the same time Keller's place burned.
Keller?
Yeah.
Stafford?
Yeah. Then, of course, the one that really got us was the fire out around, and that was just after the beginning of the war out of Tonkin.
There
was a big fire out there and all that land for the timber work. And I can remember in there fighting the way through it into the brush, where a plane came over and I'm going to put some chemical on it.
Mm.
And almost, I thought I was going to be cracking the chemical on it.